Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Good news is the airport. I just got something from Matt today, and we are actually above. We're at 103% of where we were at this same time and at the end of March in 2019. So as I remind you, 2019 was record year that we had ever had at the airport. So after COVID, we nosedived down to almost nothing. We are now back up to 2019 levels.
Impressive stuff. You know, we had Matt Coughlin on the show last week, and we talked with him about the expansion going on at the airport. They're expanding the ramp tarmac facility so that they can park cars overnight, basically making a plane hotel, because that's the problem right now is it's full every night, and these carriers want to be able to park their planes overnight. We can't take more because of that. They're expanding that facility. So, I mean, lots of good things going on at the airport. The customs folks that are going to have a permanent facility there. Just, you know, like I said, you know, lots of stuff going on at the airport. Well, I had heard that there was a big news announcement coming in the press conference yesterday. And so Casey Ligard, who's the PIO, and I'm like, is that it? She's like, no, you'll know. So, okay. So then they were talking about some new things that Brace is doing in order to allow people to have case management for Sally. And I'm like, is that it? She's like, no, you'll know. So the mayor does his normal kind of, you know, comments at the top off of the crib sheets. You know, this is the stuff that I'm supposed to say. And then he finally gets down to the end of all that. And he's like, oh, and also,
I wanted to make an announcement today that I'm announcing that I will not be seeking reelection in 2022.
No, what now? It's what now? You know, we kind of all were looking at each other, me and Jim Little and John Singley and who's the guy from, I'm actually really good friends with him and I can't think of his name, from In Weekly, Jeremy Marison. Anyway, and you know, we're all looking at each other kind of like, wait, now what happened?
Jill and family and I have been discussing this at length for some time, and I think this is the right decision for us.
So the mayor's not running for re-election, you know, just barely halfway, a little over halfway through his first term as mayor. And he says, it's just this. No, this isn't fun.
And why we're doing that now is there's no doubt that the last year certainly has been more than trying. It's been probably, as I've told Andrew, it's probably 5 years combined into one.
Well, look, I understand that. You know, you sign up to be especially an executive in this era. I mean, legislative, yeah, sort of, but an executive who's having to make decisions and organize resources and all that, you either love the challenge that this last year has been from a political point of view, or you're like, oh, no, I did not sign up for this. And, right, think about what the last year has been. It's been COVID. We all know. It's been Sally. Okay, storms come. It's the bridge out. Oh, my God. You know, in terms of the things that have happened here locally in the last year, and, you know, you add to that the George Floyd and the protests and the, you know, the graffiti bridge, which became the CPAC, and you got the monument coming down. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff, that's been unpleasant for the last year. And he just says, look, this national politics has polluted everything. Like, everything in this job, everything in our nation down to the local level has become ugly and terrible and divisive. And even dumb things like, you know, wear a mask, which I agree. How did wearing a mask become political? Well, because President Trump wouldn't wear a mask, right? And because the mask became the symbol for some people of freedom, or the symbol of the contradictory information coming out of the health experts, you know, pick your target. The idea that wearing a mask a basic healthcare safety protocol would be the flashpoint of our entire society for however long, and still is, right? That's kind of bizarre.
I'm very worried about both our country, our state, and most importantly, our city continuing to be torn by these things. I think things have become more divisive since the election in 2000, but for the most part, they had not permeated down to a local level. I certainly think within the last 12 months, things have become uglier, more difficult, and more divisive in what we're doing. And I hope that, again, we don't make those same mistakes.
So something has changed in the water, right? Something has changed in the tone of politics. And look, I think it's obvious. If you talk to, you know, I talk to all my political folks, and they all say the same thing. They would tell you that Trump was the defining issue for the last 5 years, 6 years, ever since the golden ride down the escalator, right? You know, it was, that's what people wanted to know when you went to their door. That's what people were going to vote on the basis of. You're either for or against him. You see things his way or not. He, I've said months. That's not an upper threshold. That's a lower threshold. So they think at least 7 to 9 months. That's good news. Because you remember originally we had worried it might only be 4 months or something like that. So, you know, they're down to 40 years old today in the state of Florida. Down to everybody 18 and up starting next Monday, as you heard Mark talking about at the top of the hour. So those are good news indicators. The rate of death, the rate of infection, all of the things in long-term care have almost not quite completely been eliminated in the state of Florida, but it's really low. So protecting seniors has definitely been a working strategy. And this is crucial. If vaccinations have protected the elderly, then vaccinations will protect everybody else. Right? I mean, Florida emphasized seniors heavily, and it's worked. And if that has worked for the seniors, it will work for the younger, because guess what? The youngers have better immunity, better immune systems. And if it worked for the, so this is good news as a state. This is good news as a society. Even though, keep in mind, there are still people dying from this thing. Not as many at all, but there are still people dying from it. But I don't know if you're where I'm at on this. You know me. I have been tracking this heavily for over a year now. And, you know, mask advocate, be careful. I'm not a congregator. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not an anti all, you know, I know who a lot of you are, and that's, I mean, society's made up of different people, okay? But I'll just tell you, for me, I don't care as much anymore about it all. I actually stopped doing the daily updates last week because we're in a good place. I do care, but I find I have to make myself care a little bit. And I'll tell you why. I think I know why. Because we're on the verge of solving it. And the vaccine's available, and people are getting the vaccine, and the people who are most vulnerable are getting the vaccine. And what's the news going to be at this point? You know, what's the big change? Do we need to keep having the experts on coronavirus on every week on the Sunday shows? It's not that it doesn't matter anymore. It's that what's fundamentally going to change that we don't already know about? And the answer is not much. We're increasing vaccinations. Fewer people are getting sick. Well, we hope. Fingers crossed based on the numbers. 517 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, good news. If you are traveling Avalon, I'll tell you about this in a minute, but we went to the beach for the first time in 6.5 months, 7 months, and which means we went around because we live, Pensacola. The right turn lane southbound on Avalon on a 98, they are building an extra lane over there. Well, there already is one, but it's short, the right turn lane. They are extending that back substantially. So that's going to make traffic flow and separation of the traffic so that the people who are turning right aren't going to get stuck behind the people turning left at the light. So that's good. Now, why did it take them, 7 months to figure this out? well, 6 months, I guess, technically. No one knows an answer to this question. But that is coming, so that's good news. Oh, and they did, they put up, the signs that say toll ahead, toll plaza ahead? 80% of them, and I say that, if you drive it, you'll see. The big ones still say toll, but the little ones, like the little yellow sign that says toll plaza ahead or the little white sign that says toll for the route, right next to the Interstate 10 marker, that kind of stuff. those have been covered over with duct tape and a plastic bag. And I mean that. That's how they've been covered over, because the concern is if people are not from here, they don't know not to stop at the toll plaza. So they've covered those over so people theoretically don't stop. They still do because they don't know what they're doing, which is, you know, unforgivable. But the point was to free up traffic by people not thinking there's a toll and you would just drive through. But it really does look like... It's good that they finally got these covered up. The bad news is it does kind of look like Jim Bob and Uncle Ricky went out there with a plastic bag and a duct tape. it's so rudimentary. Let's just, it's not a professional sign adaptation, but you know, whatever. It doesn't say toll anymore, so that's good news. 519 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
If I had my time again,
I've seen this story like 15 different places, so I guess it's a big deal. Prince William, I mean, here I am talking about it. Prince William has been named the world's sexiest man. Or, sorry, sexiest bald man, excuse me. Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, Michael Jordan finishing behind Prince William. So a dude who's going to be king one day, that makes up for a lot. Let me just put it that way. I mean, come on. You know? Oh, man. 522. Plus, you got to get rid of her, you know? I mean, she looks pretty lively. I don't think... Anyway, people are funny. 522 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. There's a new poll out showing the majority of Americans do not approve of President Biden's handling of the situation at the border or efforts to control gun violence. ABC News Ipsos poll. 57% don't favor his handling of either issue.
No, you mispronounced Kamala Harris. Because she's in charge of the border now. I can't do this. You take it. Did you see Saturday Night Live, by the way?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. They made a thing about that. Oh, thanks, Joe.
I've just kind of been not paying attention to anything.
By the way, welcome back. Good to have you back.
When it comes to the toll the pandemic has taken across the country, former White House coronavirus response coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx says things didn't have to be this bad.
The first time we have an excuse. There were about 100,000 deaths that came from that original surge. All of the rest of them, in my mind, could have been mitigated or decreased substantially.
New documentary out on CNN Sunday, Birx says then President Trump was very upset with what experts like her were saying publicly about the spread of the virus last summer.
What's with the ominous music underneath it? What was that from the documentary?
Yes. COVID war.
Hey, Bear McCreary, you do all these theme songs to all these TV shows. Come do us a theme for death and destruction for a COVID special on CNN.
Somebody in Florida is the winner of Saturday's $238 million Powerball jackpot. I can tell you it's not me.
Oh, well, here.
It's not me. Winning tickets sold just outside Tampa at a Publix.
All right.
$238 million cash option, I think, $160.
All right. Oh, that seems... What did you say, $280 was the main price?
$238.
Oh, $238. Okay. Yeah. All right. I guess that's about right.
You know, it'll do.
It's spending money. Yep. You know, it'll let you go to the nicer grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Mark, good to have you back on the show. 524 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, my goodness. What else we have going on? Davis... I always have to check my intuitions against somebody who's just a little bit younger and you qualify. Can I tell you an embarrassing story?
Of course you can.
So in my brain, I'm 50, okay? And in my brain, I'm still about 31, you know? I know I'm not 30, but I don't feel like I'm 35, just in my head, okay? I know my body reminds me that's not the case whenever I exercise, but still. So in my brain, that's about where I'm at. And we're getting, we went out to eat for my wife's birthday over the weekend, and the waitress had a 1977 tattoo on her arm. And she didn't look super young, but she didn't look old either. And I asked her, is that your birthday? And I think she just didn't hear me accurately. She just heard birthday, and she's like, yeah, it's my mom's birthday. I'm like, oh. Because I was born in 71. So my wife's born in 76. So is her mom is our age. You know, we're at that point in life where it's... Because I'm just eating my burger. Everything's okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I was going to ask you, as the sort of the youngster in the room, Miller Lite has come out with... This is one of the weirdest stories we didn't get to at the end of last week. Miller Lite has now come out with candles that are designed to give you the scent of bar environments that you might be missing. Like Game Day Bar scented candle. Game Day Bar mixes top notes of the most ordered bar snacks on game day with the subtle power of comfortable cracked leather, the ideal backdrop to a freshly opened beer. Just so it's going to, when you light the candle, it's supposed to smell like a bar. All right. Just like in real life, the scent of peanuts and jalapeno delightfully overpower the cloud of excitement from a fan literally sweating out the win at the next table. This is on the candle. Allow Game Day Bar to take you back to the packed, sticky floored bar of your alma mater or the best spot to watch your city's team win or lose. We're here either way. Miller Lite. And then the other ones are called Dive Bar and Beer Garden with their own descriptions. What? Who wants this? They sold out. They sold out like the first day they were on sale. They completely sold out.
It's like the KFC fire log.
No, it's not. This is nasty. Who desires smell of a bar?
It's intriguing. You know what? Oh. They sold out. They sold out. Mm. People are interested in this kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, people are weird. 527 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody texted me in the middle of the day yesterday. We were out taking a walk over at the Bayou Marcus ECUA Boardwalk facility and also in the swamp, the Jones Swamp Trail. That's really cool. If you've never been on that, you can get at it. And there's lots of ways to get at it over by PSC in Warrington, among other locations. Anyway, somebody texted me and said, "Hey, Andrew, are the Blues flying back today?" I'm like, I don't think so, because I don't think they're even out of town, but I was out walking. I couldn't check. Yeah, I was right. When I came back, I compared schedules. So the only show that is on even the April schedule is Sun and Fun at Lakeland, April 17th through the 18th. NAS Jax has been canceled. Of course, NAFL Central was canceled. MCAS Beaufort, right? Sorry. Apologies. In South Carolina, that's been Rochelle Walensky, CDC director, was almost in tears. How worried she is about where we're going with the cases. Which, you know, she's a doctor operating in, you know, in the healthcare environment and having seen patients. I understand. I understand in the sense that if I haven't done it, I don't understand. So I'm not judging her for that. I'm just saying that's where they're at. Like, they're really worried about the case resurgence possibilities after the, you know, everything is kind of plateaued and is coming back up. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Thirty-seven here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday from 8 to 9 a.m., we had a one-hour on-the-radio town hall, Open Gates Day, he likes to call it, with Matt Gaetz. And, you know, we're not going to replay the entire thing this morning, but I did want to play at least a few of the questions and answers, or at least some of the answers. So kind of instead of an interview replay, here are some of the highlights from yesterday in terms of the issues that we talked about.
Finally, the caller made a point about the concealed carry authorities that exist in the state of Florida right now. Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried holds those authorities. There's some effort to move those out of her office. I don't believe that we ought to change Florida law based on how much we like the person who's in that position. The Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services has managed our concealed carry effort for quite some time. They've done it well at times. They've done it poorly at times. And that's both under Republicans and Democrats. So it's not a partisan criticism. My work in the Congress is focused on ensuring that there is reciprocity so that when someone receives that that concealed carry license, that when they cross the state line to go to Georgia or Alabama or elsewhere, they're not inadvertently made a criminal. We had all of the votes to get that passed under Paul Ryan's leadership. He refused to schedule it for a vote despite promises. And so we now have to ensure that if Republicans take control again, that we fulfill our commitments to law-abiding gun owners. You know, I know there's a great deal of discussion in the country right now about gun violence, but I continue to hold the view that you do not make our country safer by punishing people who want to follow the law. Thank you.
Concern I have is Senator Rubio the other day, he has mentioned UFOs flying around our military bases, unidentified stuff that they can't quite put a finger on what it is. And it concerns me, given all of our military installations here in the Panhandle, what we might be facing. How aware are you of Senator Rubio's comments? Are you in Congress able to know more about this, and what can you share with us here? Because this is extremely concerning.
It is. Here's what I can share. Most of the drones flying around in our country today were manufactured by China. DJI is the Chinese company that owns the drone market in the United States. And we have intelligence that is open source, that has been published by the Department of Homeland Security, that says that those very drones are reporting intel back to the Chinese Communist Party. Many of those drones are being flown by our local law enforcement because DJI gifts or grants these drones to people in our country who were trusting to be on our side, on our team. And then oftentimes, inadvertently, that's reporting back information, not just about our military installations, but about our critical infrastructure, where the water comes from, where the power is turned on and shut off. And so while I can't get into specifics about locations and reports, that goes beyond what we can share on the radio, I can tell you that the overall makeup of the drone environment in our country is very concerning. And the good news is that this is an area where we've got some bipartisan agreement. I'm actually working on legislation now with Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas. She is not someone I typically agree with on issues, but on this issue, we both see the threat to the country. We were not able to get Attorney General Bill Barr to give appropriate instruction to local law enforcement. And so now we're hoping that we might have more success with Merrick Garland. I can also tell you that in the anti-China legislation moving through the Florida legislature, there is instruction to local law enforcement so as to ensure that those drones are not connected to the internet at any point to be able to feed information back. So some work going on at the state level, some bipartisan agreement at the federal level, but the caller is right that these intelligence collection devices in our skies do represent a threat to the country.
All right, back to Congressman Gates. A question on text. Sir, what's the status of the time change vote? We voted to stop the time change for daylight saving 3 years ago, and we still have to change the time. What's the holdup on the House side in D.C.?
There is no legislation now on the House side to alter the daylight savings time. I always get this question on this program. This is like,
I know, it's this like is we like made a thing out of it.
Yeah. This is the daylight savings time, like, center of intellectual activity. I know that Senator Rubio is still working on it. You know, for me, it doesn't rise to the level of our military mission, immigration reform, tax reform, some of the other stuff we're doing in the Congress. But look, I would not object to the change. If it was, you know, my vote, I would probably keep us on the same time.
But you don't want to sponsor it in the House.
You know, again, it is not a bill I've sponsored in the House, but it's certainly not one I would oppose.
Yes, Congressman Gates, we largely have you to thank for the medical marijuana in Florida, as this was one of your premier pieces of legislation as a former state representative. How are you viewing the current move in our legislature now to reduce the THC levels in tinctures by 60%, resulting in patients putting them at a financial disadvantage for even seeking to handle their pain, their spasticity, and to help with their current afflictions and diseases?
I am 100% against the effort in the Florida legislature to impose THC caps. I do not believe that politicians in Tallahassee should be budmasters or scientists. I believe these decisions should be left to researchers and doctors. I've done all I can to ensure that the medical marijuana industry has the opportunity to co collaborate with universities, with health centers, to ensure that patients get what they need. This seems to be a virtue signal by Republicans in the Florida legislature. I would encourage you to check out the essay that I wrote in the Tallahassee Democrat opposing these THC caps. Share it with anyone you can. Contact our local legislators and ensure that we don't create artificial barriers to research for patients that are oftentimes in need of medical therapies.
I got a question in here on text. This is a little bit of a fun one, but it goes along with another issue that I know you've been working on. Question for Congressman Gates. Any insight on the name for the new Leonardo helicopter, the training helicopter coming to Whiting Field? And also, I think you and Senator Rubio have been pushing for a new air traffic control tower for Whiting.
That's right. No news on the name. What I can tell you is that we are badly in need of a new training platform at Whiting. The TH-57 has long outlived its utility. The good news is with Leonardo coming in, there's going to be substantial capital investment in Santa Rosa County to facilitate that mission. It's going to be far faster than we've typically seen with Navy procurements of air platforms. So it's going to mean a better trained, better equipped fighting force in the sky. It's going to mean more safety for our fellow Northwest Floridians who are engaged in that mission. And it's going to mean massive economic development. This was really a whole team approach. I got to give a lot of credit to the Santa Rosa County Commission for creating the conditions that allowed this investment to occur. And
intimidation. That's a form of riot, right? That needs to be stopped. You need to have something on the books to give police the tools to handle that kind of stuff. We don't really have it right now. So this winds up getting passed 76 to 39. I agree with the legislation. But listen, you can agree with something and still have concerns that you need to watch out for. Look, I agree with the red flag law concept under the Parkland bill. Nobody's going to say I'm not a gun rights activist, but I agree with that, but I have concerns. So you'll hear me every once in a while ask my cop friends, hey, you arresting anybody for this? How's that going? What kind of circumstances? I want to know how it's being implemented, just like I want to watch this and see how it's being implemented, because we don't need to have actual riots where people get hurt without the cops having the ability to do something. We don't need to have a Capitol riot here in Florida. We've had other riots here in Florida. It's good to have tools to prevent that. It's also important to protect peaceful protesters, and they are a distinct category, protesters versus rioters. So sometimes people get locked into this. You know, I believe one thing, and so the other side is stupid. You can believe a thing and then say, you know, the other side has a point we should pay attention to. And even if we think that they're wrong in the end or that their concerns are not enough to disqualify the bill, honor the truth when it's on the other side or when there's something on the other, because that makes you reasonable. That makes you not just an ideologue or not just a partisan or somebody who's so locked into your side that you can't be reasoned with. 546 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Got tons of pictures on this phone of people mowing grass and leaving those grass clippings in the street. I've never witnessed this practice until recent years here in Pensacola.
Sharon Myers during the city council meeting on Thursday. It's a small, actually this is from the agenda conference last Monday, but it's a small note, but it's an important note. It's something that we didn't have a chance to share with you, and she's right. This is grass clippings do what? Well, if they go into the gutter, they go into the storm drain, they clog it up, they cause a problem. They're just like any other kind of debris. And worse, you know, branches at least allow water to flow through a lot of times, or branches don't go down in the drain. What happens to the mower clippings? They just go down, they're like sand basically, right?
Grass clippings are really bad for our stormwater system. And so, and it's also a code violation, by the way, for people to do that. And a lot of the people who are doing it are commercial contractors. And so I would really...
Yeah, so no, that's a good note. I mean, you know, a lot of times I'm critical of the things that Sherry brings up because she brings up a lot of stuff. And she's always the no on most of the 6-1 votes or 5-2 votes, that kind of stuff. But this is a good point, and it's just worth reminding people. Watch your grass clippings, right? 549 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is back in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. The city of Minneapolis bringing on more 911 dispatchers as the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin opens today. He's accused of killing George Floyd by kneeling on his neck for several minutes. Former White House coronavirus response coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx says the country could have avoided most of the 550,000 COVID deaths in the country. In a new documentary on CNN, she says while the first wave of deaths was likely, the country could have avoided the death toll of future waves if people had implemented more social distancing and shutdown measures. Oh, no. Tiger King, headed for divorce.
I saw that.
Joe Exotic, currently locked up in Texas in a murder-for-hire plot, recently got a call from his husband, who says he wants a divorce. Dylan Passage confirmed the news on social media, saying they were only together for 9 months in 2017, before Exotic was arrested.
I will tell you, it's hard to get real worked up one way or the other about the dissolution of this relationship.
It's just,
the whole thing.
All you have to do is say Tiger King.
I mean, you know, tell me, what's the other dude's name? The ponytail dude? The guy that had the harem?
Dylan Passage.
Yeah, not the gay guy, the guy that had the three or four women in the harem.
The one
from Georgia,
yes,
I think.
Anyway, oh, my goodness.
I want the blonde, sort of platinum-y hair.
Now I just need to go back and watch. I thought, you know.
I mean, you call me and tell me, you know, you tell me the news story about the harems breaking up. I'm like, oh. I mean, see, I don't know. This show was so nuts. It was so Florida. And it wasn't Florida, but it was so Florida.
Partially Florida.
I know.
It was still cool. I was surprised this didn't happen sooner, but I think he was riding the wave of fame. And then all of a sudden, it was like, all right, it's starting to peter out. Now I want the divorce.
Oh, yeah. Well, not so much that, but, you know, we got to keep us in the news, right?
Right.
Now that the Trump pardon has gone off the table and, you know, everything else, right? Mark, were you a watcher? Did you watch the show?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this is all, like, people talking about something.
This is
that you
all
don't even...
just, you know, fascinating little tidbits.
Yeah. It's...
People watch that?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. you would. Davis, you agree? Mark would love this show? You would be captivated.
You need to watch it.
I may have to go back and rethink my position on this.
First two episodes, and I think you're in.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. Right. Give it two episodes.
All right,
Mark, thanks for the update. 552 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. By the way, that's not a compliment telling somebody that they would love the Tiger King. It's not an insult, but I feel like there's a certain person where you'd be like, yeah, you wouldn't like it. And you're kind of praising them like they're better people than we are. 552. Oh my goodness, where are we at? Oh, you know what? This is kind of, I think I might, I've been, some things I get in my mind to do on the radio, and then there's just never a place to do them. Like, the time, the way we structure the show, the interviews, all that stuff just never allows us to do it. I'm going to try to do something here that I've had on my plate to do for like a week. Ron DeSantis, our governor, wrote a Wall Street Journal piece. When was this? March 18th. So this is now, you know, 10 days old, 11 days old. But I thought it was an interesting piece. I'm going to see if I can't read it right here. It says, the COVID-19 pandemic represented a test of elites in the U.S. from public health experts to the corporate media. The results have been disappointing. I'm not going to read it in his vocal style. Policymakers who buck the elites and challenge the narrative have been proven right to do so. To begin with, highly publicized epidemiological models were as consequential as they were wrong. The model produced by Neil Ferguson of the Imperial College London, remember that study? Oh, way back. Which erroneously forecast millions of non-nursing home COVID deaths in the U.S., sparked panic among public health elites and served as the pretext for lockdowns throughout the U.S. and Great Britain. The lockdowns failed to stop the virus, but did a great deal of societal damage along the way. Damage that a more targeted approach seeking to reduce total harms would have been able to avoid and did in places like Sweden and Florida. Similarly, models predicting massive shortages of hospital beds helped to precipitate the disastrous policy enacted by states like New York, New Jersey, and Michigan to send contagious COVID-positive hospital patients back to nursing homes. States like Florida that rejected the models and adopted policies to protect nursing home residents had comparatively lower nursing home mortality rates as a result. The reliance on faulty models was matched by poor public messaging. Elites sent conflicting messages about the efficacy of cloth masks, the uniformity of risk across age brackets, the danger of outdoor transmission, and the practical benefit of taking a COVID vaccine. Perhaps most damaging to public trust was the public health campaign urging 15 days to slow the spread. Oh, my God. Do you remember when it was supposed to be 15 days and now a year later? This short-term mitigation, we were told, was necessary to buy time to prepare hospitals for any patient surges. But that reasonable aim was soon transformed into a lockdown until eradication approach that left no end in sight for most Americans. Going from save the hospitals to zero COVID represents one of the greatest instances of history moving the goalposts. Or in history of moving the goalpost. Lockdowns proved a huge boon to America's corporate media, which primed its captive audience with fear and partisanship. Good Lord, have you ever watched CNN in the last year? Everything the corporate press did regarding COVID coverage was inseparable from its years-long obsession with attacking Donald Trump. Weaponizing COVID in an election year superseded any obligation to present the facts with needed context and perspective. Florida cut against the grain of elite opinion and bucked the media narrative. While it was abundantly clear by May that schools represented low-risk environments for the spread of COVID and that the consequences of prolonged school closures were potentially catastrophic, the corporate media did its best to obscure the data and stoke fear and panic among parents and teachers. After all, the media had to take the position opposite Donald Trump. Had the media presented the data on schools in a rational fashion with proper context and perspective, it's quite possible that the extended school closures we've seen in lockdown states would have been untenable and millions of students would have been in markedly better shape academically and socially. For months, we were told to trust the experts, but far too often over the past year, those who were most influential in our society, in public health, government, and media, proved incapable of rising to the moment. Florida cut against the grain of elite opinion and bucked the media narrative. The result is open schools, comparatively low unemployment, and per capita COVID mortality below the national average. We cannot simply undo the harm caused by flawed policies advocated by our elites, but we can resolve that we never let this happen to our country again. Again, that was Governor Ron DeSantis in the Wall Street Journal about 10 days ago. And I just thought when I read it, I thought this is really good. I ought to share it on the air. Just hadn't had a chance to do it. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Yeah, I'll link it up on the Facebook page. You can check it out there if you want to share it with other people. I'm Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Davis, have you seen the Lil Nas X Devil Shoes?
I have not.
They've got Nike logos on them, but Nike is saying, no, 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 not involved. They supposedly have human blood mixed into the soles. That's a little creepy, I know, but they have like Luke 10:18 on them. They're still selling for $1,018. That's a passage about the devil falling from the sky. They're making 666 of them. I mean, people are just dumb. Can we